Welcome to the podcast after the podcast. This is Short Rest.
Welcome back to Short Rest, everybody. Screaming like zombies. Remember, that was the theme from before, I think. Something about it being spooky rest.
Something about that.
Right.
Well, I seem to recall that.
Intro contrived 2025.
Yeah.
I'm Scaldwell. Oh, no. Ooh. Something burned me.
And I'm Emily.
There we go.
Holy shit. I'm Brian Murphy. Fuck! Sorry, guys.
More like crying Murphy.
I'm Jake Herwet.
Sorry, everybody.
Well, you did get a big splinter in this episode, if I recall. So that checks out that you would be screaming a little bit.
Right off the bat, huge rose to Onyx arbitrarily stealing a training dummy. And that's just unlocking a cutscene that we would have otherwise maybe not gotten.
You know, I think that there was a part of me that was like, this world, I want to interact with it, even though my character is limited in terms of perspective.
Sure, but she
and
steals
then,
stuff.
But then I was like, well, Onyx has a habit of wandering away.
Mm-hmm.
That's been established. I could just start wandering away.
Yeah,
that's canon.
I wish I had that power in real life. I can't tell you how many conversations I've been in where I'm just like, I want to just kind of slowly float backwards.
Yeah.
And I just like keep standing there and nodding.
Yeah.
It really is like such a power move to be in like a small group conversation and just leave without saying anything.
Yeah. Well, you have to say something.
Irish exit mid-call.
No, like, it's beyond the Irish
well,
exit.
I guess it's...
Well, you have to do it subtly, right? Mm-hmm. You like sort of slowly start moving to the like background until you're like not as much present and then feel yourself getting closed out and then you can make it.
Like you're activating cloaking powers.
Yeah, it's like it's hardest in a group of like five or six where like your absence will be noticed, but maybe you haven't spoken in a while and other people are speaking and you don't want to make it seem like you're turned off by their conversation and want to leave.
Yeah. And then also like there's only so many times that you can be like, okay, cool. Well, I'm going to go use the bathroom, right?
That's when I start to back away and just do a thumb.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's good. But if there's like six of you like interrupting it to be like, cool, I'm going to go use the bathroom. Always just sounds like, okay.
You don't want to interrupt a conversation that you're not part of anymore to say that you're leaving.
Yeah.
This is why I always keep fake blood on me so that I can just fake an injury.
You just put it in your nose and just be like,
oh, that's good.
Yeah.
A nosebleed.
I have a little capsule up there at all times.
Here we go.
That's really funny.
I was just in Nashville visiting, and I was having a lot of conversations, not to put my freaking cousins on blast.
Do it, dude.
All right. I was having a lot of conversations about golf and golf courses, like I wanted to pull an Axford exit several times.
Yeah.
I think it's just like I often get stuck in conversations because I ask lots of questions, and then suddenly I'll be like, oh shit, I actually I'm kind of tired of asking a ton of questions.
Well, that does sound like,
but I usually ask them from a genuinely interested.
You're like,
place.
I want the car to stop going, but I keep hitting the gas.
Exactly. Yeah. Because then I'll get sucked back in because I'll hear something else that I'm like, actually, I do have a question about that.
The worst is when like you can sense that the other person also wants the conversation to end.
Oh no, I just I'm like, I gotta go say hi to some people.
That's good.
Really elegant. That's really elegant.
Literally, just go join Emily.
Leaving a conversation is one of my superpowers.
Yeah. What's your strategy?
Just fast. Don't look back.
Really? So you do kind of just like recede.
Yep. I'm just like, yeah. Anyway.
There you go. Okay. You don't recede, you run past.
Will you say like catch you later or see you later or see you around or like.
You know what I usually do? I often will promise to be right back.
What?
Whoa. But it's kind of a tacit agreement that it'll never happen.
So you got like people waiting for you at parties.
It's like fucking. That's like a Greek myth, man.
I don't know why.
You can't be doing that.
You need to lie.
I was going to say, that's like a Greek myth, but then you get like punished in Hades, like for eternity for doing this to people. Because I would literally, if someone said that to me, I would be like, fuck, do I have to stay here?
Wow.
Yes, Jacomedes promised he would be right back. And yeah. Now he spends all of his days in Tartarus attempting to get back.
I've never seen anyone waiting.
Yeah, no, you just do the, I'm going to go find Emily.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go say hi to some people.
I think the real strategy, what I want to try next time I'm at a party, if I don't have any blood capsules on me, is I'm just going to like touch my hand on the person's shoulder very firmly and be like, hey, this was really great.
Oh, yeah, that's good too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that. Another thing could be like, oh shit, I think I hear Murph crying.
Throwing me under the bus.
Murph hurt himself.
Oh, fuck. Murph's crying. Oh. I can tell it's not serious though.
Murph got stuck
on
some furniture.
No, I'll let them think it's serious. Yeah. He's tangled up in a chair again.
Let's see if he can work it out himself.
Sorry, I've been trying to let him cry it out, but it's really distracting me.
He's got to learn.
I'm going to check on him. I'll be right back. I will be right back. Do not go anywhere. Don't start a new conversation. You sit right here.
Close your eyes.
Super quiet.
Close your eyes. Right there.
Count to 20. I will be here.
It is funny to hear Jake's conversation exit strategy because there are so many, and especially in campaign one, of hard ones, like exit strategies of like moonwalking out and stuff like that, where I'm like, this all is really adding up.
We all bring a little bit of our true selves to the table. Speaking of difficult conversations, I feel like every time you talk to Ismark, it's that.
Yeah.
I really love Jen's like absolute disdain for Ismark. It actually has nothing to do with Ismark as much as it's so funny that Jen's hates him that I like am like, yeah, we all hate him now.
Yeah. Well, it's the fact that he's Ismark the Lesser. Yeah. At first I thought he might be some like badass vampire hunter, but as soon as I found out he was Ismark the Lesser, I'm like, oh, this guy's not even as cool as his mayor dad.
Well, honestly, it also was a totally strange move on his part that he had his dad decaying.
So we could just go in on him for that.
So fun playing with a module. I'm really fucking enjoying it because there's just like weird stuff like that is just in the book.
Yeah.
And anytime I'm like scrambling for a detail or just to like move the scene along, I'll be like, oh, right. Yeah, they said that the burgomaster is just laying dead in this coffin in the house. So I'm like, all right, we need to, I feel like this battle has run its course. Like Ismark is about to turn. What's like a drastic thing he can say to get you guys to like help him out here?
Yeah.
So like, yeah, my dad's been dead this whole time.
It was a really funny reveal that I think then it was like, okay, Jens is right. Who is this guy? Yeah.
They call him Ismark the Lesser in the book too.
Yeah.
There's like not a ton of details for each character, but there's like just enough to like color them in a great way.
Yeah. I mean, Ismark the Lesser is all you need.
Yeah.
Jens cannot be friends with someone named Ismark the Lesser.
I also think there's a funny detail that like partially got passed over, which is because of just like how the timing worked out. They don't really have like night day cycles listed in the book at all. So I think like you guys got into town and it was like daytime because you'd been like traveling all night. And like it says that Ismark is in the tavern. So it's just like because of the logic of this, Ismark is just day drinking while his dad's coffin is just open,
rotting
in his house, which honestly checks out. That's really lesser
like,
behavior.
Yeah, that totally definitely tracks. Is like a form of grief, you know, mm-hmm. but we can still be like, that's unsanitary, sir.
You're being real lesser right now.
Yeah. I mean, we could find a problem even if you were doing it right. So it helps that he's doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Hey, what about Lesser Than Ismark? Is that anything?
Yes.
Oh, like a band name?
Yeah. I don't know if ska
Lesser Than
Ismark's like ska pop punk.
Would that be? Okay. You mean Less Than Jake.
Less Than Jake.
Right. So we're adding the lesser.
Lesser Than Ismark. What is that to me?
I think we should
we're
talk
gonna
about
try
it
to
more.
Make this work, Caldwell. Hang
we should
on.
Talk about
no,
it more,
no, no, no,
yeah.
no. We got it. We got
no, no,
this.
No, no.
We got
okay,
this.
Okay, so
lesser
what if it was
Ismark.
Like you
it
know,
doesn't rhyme. We changed less to lesser for some reason.
Okay, but do you know how there's a overlap between sort of like 50s horror mm-hmm. and like what is it called? Billie
Eilish?
No.
Wait, I know what you're talking
what
about.
Rockabilly?
Rockabilly,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Rockabilly. Like a sort of like a rockabilly ska thing.
Whoa.
But with like
I don't think
a little
ska
bit
is
of
different
like
than rockabilly.
A little
you're gonna
bit
get us
of
killed.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying combining the two. This is a fusion.
Oh, rockabilly.
Yeah.
Rockabilly.
Skakabilly.
Skakabilly. So there's like a little bit of a goth feel in there.
Yes. Yes.
Imagine a cowboy hat and a sax.
Yeah, okay. A cowboy hat, checkered.
Fuck.
Checkerprint, yes. Checkerprint cowboy hat.
A checker. Oh, well, what do you call like the band around the brim of the hat or the top of the hat of a cowboy hat?
Oh man,
hat?
You are
what
asking the wrong crew.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god! Imagine doing like skanking it, but you're wearing cowboy boots with spurs.
Oh my god! Line dancing, but skanking, line skanking,
line skanking. Holy shit! We're onto something.
You guys okay, so lesser on than East Park.
But I think that Rockabilly has kind of like a. You're right. It has like a horror aesthetic to it.
I feel
well.
Like there is like an overlap in Rockabilly fans and sort of like a vintage horror.
Yeah, I feel like it's like the Munsters, but with a little more mm-hmm. a little more of an edge.
Mm-hmm. The Munsters. With an edge.
The Munsters have an edge.
Yeah. The Munsters have an edge, brother.
It is true. Yeah, yeah, it's true. They were kind of like, because the Munsters, I guess, were making fun of the Addams Family.
They were just an Addams Family ripoff.
Really?
It's really funny. I grew up watching the Munsters because it was on Nick at Night. So I've watched more Munsters than I have Addams Family, but Addams Family is undoubtedly more original.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I guess, yeah, they're both like send-ups of like the classic horror trope.
There's a little bit. But I think they came out, you know, like kind of around the same time. It's sort of a pap.
When did it come out?
I don't have anything to look up. Okay. Well, we said the Munsters. When did the Munsters come out?
Yeah. When did the Munsters come out?
Oh my God. When did color come to TV?
1954.
Oh, that's not a bad guess at all. Not a bad guess.
This is for the Munsters.
I think it's too early, but that's my guess.
It's too early.
Okay. Munsters. Yeah.
I was going to go 70s.
Yeah, well, Munsters definitely went into the 70s because it had color,
okay,
I think, at the end of it.
1954.
So I'm thinking 60s. When did fucking color television become a thing? In the 60s, right?
Was the moon landing broadcast in color?
I don't know, because the moon is black and white. And
the moon is so, but the thing about space is that it's black and white is all I can say to that.
People were pissed because it interrupted the Munsters.
I believe the moon landing, I'm just seeing Neil Armstrong in color. I'm seeing him in color, so yeah. I think
he shook the Frankenstein dad's hand.
Yeah, he shook. What is his name? Herman Munster.
Herman Munster.
Eddie
Munster
is the son. Right. Okay, I'm gonna say 19.
I'm gonna go 69.
Okay,
69.
Okay, I'm gonna say 65.
Okay.
And Emily has 54.
I already started with 1954, 54. Which I admitted was low as soon as I said
it.
Murph is closest with September 24th, 1964.
Wow, that's really close.
Yeah, you almost hit the nail on the head.
Wow.
Good
the coffin.
Who would have thought? Now, when did the Addams Family come out?
Okay.
I don't know anything about the history.
I'm just
going to
say 1962. I'm going to say it was very.
I'm
going to
come
recent.
Out and just say I didn't know it was anything other than a movie from the 90s with Joan Cusack in it.
Okay, well, no.
Holy shit.
I'm going to give y'all a hint about the Addams Family. It is a multimedia franchise.
Yes. Oh, okay, so it was a comic book maybe first.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, I'm going to say 1954 again.
Okay, sticking with 54.
Okay, maybe I'll say. 1959.
Okay, if you look closely, they are reading the Addams Family comics during the moon landing. There's like a book floating past.
Sure, sure.
So the book was, there was a collection at that point.
Oh, okay.
Jake, what's your guess?
61.
61, Murph.
59.
54.
You were all wrong. The comic strip premiered in
1938. Wow. Oh!
It was a New Yorker cartoon.
Holy
okay.
Yeah. Shit.
Wow.
It was kind of a send up. It was just like, oh, like, you know how there's like prim and proper families? Well, what if they were a little spooky?
Can I ask a question? Did it continue during the war?
No, they had to stop out of respect.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
Gomez
it's like
got drafted.
a little dark and edgy. Were people there for the Addams Family during the war?
Wednesday Addams became a nurse.
that's a great question. Uncle Fester definitely, you know, flew. Uncle Fester flew an airplane.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
We're not saying for who, but he flew an airplane. Yeah.
Not for the right side.
Yeah. Well, now you're saying what it is.
Oh, just, man. He flew an airplane and he was really good at it.
Yeah. Obviously, the Addams Family, especially when it came out, like all of the characters in the Addams Family, obviously, mm-hmm. like very well developed
they're
and everything.
Creepy but and they're kooky. Yeah.
They're very creepy. They're mm-hmm. very kooky. We snap. Mm-hmm. but looking back at all this stuff, it's so funny how, like, pre everyone having access to literally everything, how much easier it was to come up with parody ideas and everything.
Yeah.
Like when you watch like old SNL and it's just like, this is Dan Aykroyd selling dangerous toys. And you're just like, he's going to sell glass. And you're like, that is the first sketch idea the cavemen thought of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that is the first idea anyone ever had.
But I would say an idea like that, though, is pretty evergreen to
yes,
me.
Of course.
As an audience, I'll pretty much laugh most times I see it.
I agree. I'm just saying they had it easier.
That's true.
Yeah.
Probably not writing comics during World War II, but writing sketches before the internet was probably easier.
Yeah. I'll give you a rose, Caldwell. I really like that you've been like really good at like retrieving all the information, right? Mm. Like, I don't know how you're juggling it, but like it was satisfying to be like, I'm going to explore. And then you were able to just instantly know all the stuff that was down there.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that because I do feel like I am drowning every time.
No, it doesn't seem that way at all. Like, it seems effortless.
It's been tough because I feel like normally when we play, we know like, okay, y'all are going to be doing this. So sure, I'll like prep a session around that. But with this module, it's more like, okay, you guys could be doing literally anything.
Yeah, you just have five houses full of stuff.
It's just like impressive to see you go from like just like improvising and joking around to being like typing one word on your keyboard and then like pulling up like a whole like loot table or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I will say that the church encounter is very fun because in the book, it suggests basically having Doru scream as soon as you enter. And I was gonna have it happen like that. This is a peek behind the screen.
Yeah. Behind the screen?
Sorry, just a little Adam's Family humor for you. Just a little rockabilly humor.
Just a little Strahd humor too.
Just a little Strahdabilly. Yeah. Oh, Strahd loves Scockabilly. But yeah, I think they suggest like having Doru scream like instantly. Also, in the book, I think Doru is like the priest's son, and I thought it was funnier if it was his brother.
Yeah,
it is.
You're right, it is. That's a really fun tweet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just kind of like being like, oh, my fucking brother, he went to war and he got turned into a vampire. What a loser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, the other one is like so tragic.
You're like, how did the Trinity Veil triplets deal with this?
Eagle-eared listeners and people that have played Strahd before will notice a couple changes, and they're usually just to make things a little less sad.
Yeah, totally.
One of the other changes, while I'm talking about it, is some people notice this. The character, Ismark's sister, is actually named Irina in the original module.
But Eldermorn.
And yes, because Eldermorn, I changed it to Marina. Big difference, I know.
Whoa, that's cool. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I honestly feel like we need to re-record this because it's just so off. You know what I mean?
I am glad because I do feel like I have like a lingering profound attachment to the name Marina. Mm-hmm. So I would have, I feel like I would have interacted differently just like instinctually.
Yeah, you would have
like whatever lingers of Fia in my brain and body would have like come to, you know.
Yeah, that is, I wanted to just like make it a clean slate, so I added that M, and it's doing a lot of lifting. But yeah, so in the like module version, I think they say like basically Doru starts screaming, starts hollering as soon as you get in there, but like I needed y'all to at least like talk with the priest, have the conversation about like the funeral and how that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Then
because
honestly,
I feel like if he screamed, I could see any of us, but especially Jen's, just being like, what have you done? I fight him.
Yeah.
But it was honestly great that you like departed to the side because then I could have you like discover all the stuff. And you found that book.
Mannequin.
Books,
You
have the mannequin. Yes.
I'm just saying we
trying
can
to
dress
take a
up.
Mannequin out of someone's house is awesome.
It would be so impossible to steal.
Yeah.
We can dress the mannequin up for every holiday. It's like a full year round Christmas tree.
Oh, that's true.
And do people do that? I don't go to like boxing gyms a lot, but I imagine they're putting like Santa hats on the boxing
gym. Oh, you got it.
Dress them up like a leprechaun.
That's a good idea.
Oh, can you make it like Oogie Boogie during Halloween?
Oh, put like some little stitches in it?
Yeah.
A jack-o'-lantern head on the top, like Skellington.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, why would you punch Jack Skellington, Jake?
Yeah, Jake, what do you have against Jack Skellington precisely?
He's the pumpkin king, sir.
I wouldn't punch him. I would put his head on there so we can hug.
Is it about Sally?
Is it because you love Sally and you want to steal her?
Because you love Sally.
I think Sally's fine. I think she's cool.
You think she's fine?
Jake, she is like, fine.
She's fine.
Yeah,
she's
freaking gorgeous. I think she's a fucking 10. I think she's a smoke show. Do you need me to spell it out?
When she wraps the leg around the trick.
Oh my God.
100% would smash. Okay. We're all thinking it.
Jake, she can take her arm off and just do whatever she wants with it. If you know what I'm saying.
Who did she trick with the leg?
Oogie Boogie.
Oh, yeah. Yes, right. You're right.
She gets Oogie Boogie really horny because Oogie Boogie's about to kill Santa Claus.
Yeah, the logic of that scene is Oogie Boogie's about to kill Santa Claus, but he sees a sexy leg, and he's like...
I'll say, I don't love the idea that Oogie Boogie can get horny that quickly.
You don't love that Oogie Boogie is desperate to fuck.
I don't like thinking about, like, a little
seeing a flirtatious leg and just forgetting what you were doing.
He's a man of vice, though. It totally
that's true. You're right. He's rolling the dice.
But I like, it's like...
Do you think he should roll the dice before he gets horny?
I just like, I would prefer his vice. I mean, like, I don't think that getting turned on by a sexy leg should be a vice to begin with.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Emily.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
But are people saying now that they're not turned on by sexy legs or having around a corner? Are you saying
that it's wrong?
That we can't admit
it's wrong of me to turn into a wolf every time I see sexy
leg? Are you saying that if I am gonna kill Santa and then I see a sexy leg wrapping around a pillar that I can't be turned on by it? Is that what we're saying?
I think it's also like the way he looks. Like, I don't want to think of him sexually.
Sure.
Sorry. Oh, I see. Oogie Boogie, just not my type.
Yeah, well, he's full of worms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true, but I feel like, you know, you gotta remember he's full of worms, which is an interesting texture. So it's definitely for someone.
But it's not something that I want.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So you think in the movie he should be like, oh, I bet someone would find that attractive.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay,
I think
cool.
So.
Let's pitch that.
Yeah.
Speaking of vices.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
You did find a beautiful drawing of a nipple.
Oh, yeah. Right. I love that.
Which, that's not in the book. That's
really?
The nipple's
really?
Not in the book.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like that's a missed opportunity for them, honestly. Yeah.
I'm very intrigued by my Sword of Truth, Blade of Truth book.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a fun thing about Strahd as well, is like they will just like drop a book like that, because there's like, you got like the Songs of the Dawn or Hymns of the Dawn, I think.
Yeah.
And then you also got, yeah, like the Blade of Truth, which is a book about like the Olmist Inquisition. And like, I think it's like logic exercises to defeat like the Diabolist inquiries or something like that. The title is very long. But so after I heard that, I was like, okay, well, who are the Olmists? Like, what is their deal?
Yeah.
And I think the crazy thing about Strahd is it's been through like so many revisions.
Yeah.
Because it started out as like a just module called, like, I think it was called Ravenloft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like literally you're just going in like a vampire spooky castle.
Okay.
And it's kind of evolved since then. So I think that like in some previous version, like the Olmist Inquisition was more of a thing.
Yeah.
And they were essentially like Strahd kind of like rode forward into this land and like established, you know, his like churches and his people and everything like that. He kind of took over every aspect of the land.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting, like when you do your like research for Ravenloft and Strahd, because like, there will just be like all of these wikis and it'll be like, is this from the book or is this like some sort of like weird 3.5 errata?
Yeah.
Or is this from like, because they also released a Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft book that does have more details about the Olmist Inquisition.
Really?
So it's like, it's fun. Yeah. There's like a lot of additional details that you can pull in. So
okay, well, I'm not going to ask any more about the Olmist Inquisition, mm-hmm. because we will find out.
I've been thinking about it.
Yeah. Okay.
We played a while ago. We had a Castle Ravenloft game that I think was based on like the 4E version of it. And it was pretty fun. I don't know why I brought it up, because I don't really have anything to add other than that it was fun. I do remember a kobold sorcerer.
Enjoyed it?
Destroying me, Emily, and Siobhan, and us not being able to beat it. It's like
it was such a hard game.
It was really hard. You like kind of draw cards. I think it basically there's no DM, and it's like a cooperative board game, which is fun, because oftentimes when you're playing like a Hero Quest type game or something, one person has to be like the game master, and this is very much like, no, you just, based on how many people are at the table, that's how often the like
the house moves against
the house moves against you. Yeah, I was gonna call it the computer, but it's quite literally not a computer.
It's a board game. It was a funny game, because I remember we were like, ha, that was so hard the first time we played, and then we tried again and we were just like, okay, this is impossible.
Yeah, it's so fucking hard.
Is it like House on Haunted Hill, where you're like building the dungeon as you go?
It was,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Oh, I do like those games.
But I would say harder, because I remember level 2, we died.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was brutal.
I mean, that is, there's like a little guide in the front of the book about like what level you need to be for everything. And you can really wander into some shit if you're playing it to a T. Like if you're playing rules as written.
Yeah.
Just realized I haven't played a new board game in forever.
Really?
Because I've been on that Magic the Gathering. Magic, yeah. Like the Magic community thing.
Have you guys ever played The Mind?
No. What is it?
Are you just getting described reading a book?
Get him.
Well, it's this thing where you sit quietly and you just imagine things. Jill made me do it for 12 hours. Holy shit.
She had a friend over.
It's her Pilates instructor, Greg.
And they were getting a workout in, I could hear it.
I just sat there and thought about Kung Fu Panda for 3 hours. I watched the whole movie in my head.
How can there be a game called The Mind? It has to have been copywritten.
So you get 100 cards, numbered 1 through 100.
Okay.
The first level of The Mind is, I think we played with 4 people. So each person got 2 cards, and they could be anywhere 1 to 100. And without speaking, you have to put them down in the correct order. So like firsthand, I had like a 7 and a 74. So I was reasonably sure that my card 7 was first. Okay. So I like put that down. And then you kind of just wait for somebody to feel confident enough that their card should be next. You don't speak. You just do like eye contact, nodding.
I like this. This is entering like a strange intimacy with friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really do get in sync. And then eventually you get to like, I think level 9 is the last one where you have 9 cards. So sometimes there's like sequential, like you'll have 34, 35, 36. And people are like slamming them down.
They know for sure.
I'm looking at like a screenshot of the game and it's just a table full of numbers. Madness inducing.
I think this sounds kind of trippy and I really like the idea of it. I want to get into wordless intimacy with people that I'm not there with yet.
Wow.
We had a great time. It was really fun.
You want to be able to wordlessly leave a party, but also wordlessly be intimate with people at the
party. I'm just saying, like a lot of times we use our words, but like the intensity of eye contact without that kind of crutch can be really kind of unique.
Then we can unlock the true beauty of the mind.
Whoa.
Wow. And that's why it's called The Mind.
So it's, I bet this was like derived originally to test if people were psychic or telepathic.
Mm.
It does have that look. It looks like in, you know, oh gosh, what's the movie? Starship Troopers, when they're giving Neil Patrick Harris like the psychic test. It does kind of look like that.
Mm. Okay. I have to say, do you guys believe in telepathy?
I didn't until this weekend when I played The Mind.
I don't know if this is short rest conversation. This is more like
if not here with
Emily, 1.5 drinks in conversation, but I'm not 1.5 drinks in. I just have a matcha. But
I think it's kind of like like mentalists who can just kind of like infer things from like facial expressions and also like conversations with people.
Yeah,
I do think there's like maybe like a high level of kind of like mental empathy that you can acquire. I don't know if like mind reading or mind probing is real, but maybe it is. Maybe sort of like
mental empathy would still be based off of like visual cues, right?
Uh-huh.
It would still be just like a deep understanding of the visual cues of another person's body.
Yeah, I would say defining that stuff as telepathy would be inaccurate. I do agree that there would be people that would be better at the board game The Mind.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think it was really about reading people's thoughts.
But if I want to get like fully into kind of conspiracy crank territory, the brain does work by, you know, electrical signals.
Yeah.
And cell phones work by some sort of electrical signal too. So it stands to reason.
I like
everyone
that.
Everyone in the comments is just typing angrily right now.
You sent everyone down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, they can post their wrong opinions.
For me, I'm just like, we know so little about the brain. For all we know, if we unlock 1% more or if we unlock 50% more. Anyways, everyone should watch To Knowledge. Limitless?
I was going to say, this is all sounding like Limitless. This is the unlocking the brain. I think that is
this is my Mulder I want to believe.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I like anything that's like kind of trippy and like we could all visit each other in dreams. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want to believe that we're capable of it. We just haven't tapped into it.
There's
yet.
The famous Wedding Crashers line from the Wedding Crashers trailer where Owen Wilson says, they say we only use 10% of our brains. I say we only use 10% of our hearts.
Whoa. I actually do think I don't need more heart.
Right. Totally. But I also think that the 10% of our brains thing is not real. I think that's...
Oh.
Isn't it like at a time? You use the whole thing, but it's like just what's firing 10% at a time.
You for sure use most of it, I would think.
Right. I just need to believe that there's a plant out there that if we all took it, we could telepathically communicate.
It's called ayahuasca, and I've just mailed you guys some.
And maybe transcend to another plane.
Or maybe it's like, you know how like bats can communicate with like echolocation and stuff like that.
Thank you all so much for listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. This has been great.
Wait, why is
don't vax the kids, everybody.
Do not you dare have trippy thoughts be the fucking exclusive domain of the fucking manosphere.
It was called you with animal facts, okay? It was the two.
Yes,
the two.
I have no evidence of anything trippy psychically in my entire life. However, I just want to believe.
And in bat culture, like the gender divide. I want to believe too. I really do. It's also the movie was Lucy, which is where I guess Lucy and Limitless, they both take pills that unlock.
When did things come out?
Because Lucy feels very post 9/11.
Limitless 2011. Limitless 2011.
I'm gonna say Lucy 2013. Damn, that's actually a good guess. Lucy was after Limitless, I think.
I think Murph is right with 2011, but I'll have to go 2010, and I think Lucy was 2012.
Okay, then... Okay. Oh, fuck.
Now, are you talking about the Limitless TV show or the movie?
The movie,
of course. Yeah.
All right, Murph, you said...
2011.
Absolutely dead on.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Now for Lucy, what were your guesses for Lucy?
Get 2013.
Okay. Honestly, just like Murph is so
12.
So good.
Murph is on.
I'm so limitless. I'm using 100% of my brain.
Yeah.
He guessed in Mandarin.
Murph, I'm raising my wine glass to you to knowledge, sir. It was 2014. You were so
close. Ah, wow.
Okay.
Making another Limitless 3 years after Limitless is creatively bankrupt in a way that the Munsters would blush at.
But get this, the Limitless is a woman.
The Munsters would blush at.
In black and white, they would blush, and you wouldn't see it, but they'd be blushing.
You know what the Munsters are like the biker mice from Mars to the Adams family's TMNT.
Which is that they're like still fun and balanced.
That's what I'm saying. The Munsters was very funny.
The biker mice from Mars has lingered in my brain.
Yeah.
It's also, I'm pretty sure that the Munsters' car is what inspired the Rob Zombie song Dragula.
Yeah.
Because they had a really cool car that was also like a, you know, like an old timey hearse.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, the Munsters is rockabilly aesthetic to a T.
Yeah. Which is what got us down
this. Which is what got us down
here. Honestly, this is a huge,
unsavory alley.
Huge thorn for me that I have not, until this moment, put enough rockabilly stuff in the world. I feel like it's a real missed opportunity.
I don't think that Strahd actually wants rockabilly stuff in it.
No.
Or like not him, the person, like the module. I don't think it wants rockabilly.
That's what like the counterculture would be, though.
Exactly,
rockabilly.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I don't know. I don't know, Em. I'm just talking.
No.
Defend that. As they say on other polite podcasts, say more.
Oh, that's good.
Have you guys heard that?
No.
Yeah.
I feel like I hear it a lot on like really polite podcasts.
Wait, they say same. I feel like it's rude.
Like kind of saying like, no. It's like, it's very like open, inviting. I think it might be therapy speak. Say more.
I think it is.
Okay.
Oh, I see. There's a moment where you said that on this episode, Jens.
I was saying it in a rude way. Where it's like, what you're saying doesn't make any fucking sense, so say more.
Yeah. I think that's what they mean on those podcasts, too.
You think so?
The tone.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think so.
Okay.
I would think the polite version would be like, could you say more on that?
But I feel like it's been shortened, too. But maybe it is. Maybe it is passive aggressive.
It's an invitation. Say more.
I think it's a tone thing.
It is. Those podcasts always sound passive aggressive to me.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I can see it on that podcast being like the equivalent of like snapping for someone when you like what they're saying.
Uh-huh.
But it is also, I think it's like 100% like how you say it. Because if you're like, say more.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
that implied something entirely else.
Exactly. We've talked about
that was like a congested but horny man.
We've talked about my terrible Instagram algorithm. Do you guys get fed terrible men all the time?
Yes.
No, I just get Deltarune memes.
Okay, cool. All right, so you're fully like enough into the nerd stuff and the animation stuff that they're just like, what's up? You want to hear about video games?
Yeah, I've got an otaku wall. Reading One Piece, you will never see a manosphere guy in your life. I recommend it, folks.
Yeah, my guys are like, you've looked up stuff about protein. You want to make sure your wife obeys, right?
Yeah. The primal nature of men.
Yeah.
I'm on like a really sad one where I think my algorithm knows that I like exercise, but it knows that I'm that my body is falling apart. So it's showing me an algorithm of like just guys that are like, I've worked out 5 days a week for 9 years. This is what my body looks like. And it's just like,
he just looks really
slightly
normal.
Better.
Yeah. It's like, hey, it's okay. You're not as jacked as these guys you see in your feet.
Actually, I think that's really beautiful. I wish that I had that kind of shit when I was a teenager. So I actually think that's great. Don't get off of that because I don't think it's sad. I think it's going to keep you feeling, it's going to keep your brain right.
I do prefer the rip men.
That's the problem,
Not the guy that's offering me comfort. No. It's 99% lighting. No, dude.
I'm telling you guys.
Cool. So get the lighting.
Yeah. So give me a fucking ring light.
I think I like rage watch stuff because as I'm going through it, I'm what is this motherfucker talking about?
Can't do that.
And then Instagram is just like, he loves it.
Mm-mm. No, you just got to stream Luffy from One Piece into your phone over and over again. It'll fix it.
I should just hang out near Caldwell because then my phone will eat his phone's information and just be like.
Phones really do kiss that way.
It is true. Yeah, just give me your phone and I'll scream. Characters from Haikyuu, the volleyball anime.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You guys want to do Rose and Thorns?
Yes. Yeah. Big Rose to everyone for the birth of the Fuddruckers plan.
Oh my God. Yes. Wow. That sounds really funny. Yeah.
I was scrambling the whole time because like you were desperate to find like herbs and spices and it's just like I don't he's not an actual burger master but like what is the way
all so confusing right because like we're combining like 10 different things there was like a Subway Eat Fresh thing but also Fuddruckers for a burger bar but also the whole idea behind the burger master is that we want his herbs and spices but the lore of that comes from the Colonel's herbs and spices.
You know what, I actually I have to come clean.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it was the thorn that I put on a facade.
Oh.
Even just now in this moment. I don't know what a Fuddruckers is.
What the hell?
I remember I've seen them, but I've never been inside one. So I don't know.
I don't think I've been to one either.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I don't know what you guys are referencing about a Fuddruckers.
Been to Fuddruckers. Dozens of times.
But is it a build your own thing? Or what aspect of Fuddruckers are we?
I think it's the build your own burger bar.
Yeah. Right?
They have a build your own. So that's a real thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you get the burger and then they have like a salad bar that is fixins.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And they like really like oil up the buns.
That's awesome.
The buns are so oiled.
Is there a better word than fixins?
Yeah, I love fixins.
Fixins. It just implies such bounty.
It really does. It really does. It's the spice of life is fixins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're getting like, there's going to be two types of cheese. Jalapenos, absolutely.
Oh
like,
my
that's
God.
That's awesome. Just, I love it when there are fixins.
They also had a burger that was a pound. Which I guess isn't that weird now, but at the time it was
awesome.
No, that's
crazy. I feel like even a quarter pounder is like really
a lot
of burger.
Well, it was when you're in high school, it was pretty cool to go get the pound burger. That's and then like you have to get it because your friends are getting
it. Is that
it.
Like a plate?
What do you mean a plate?
Is the size of a pound burger?
No.
Does it look like a small plate?
No. It's the thickness.
It's just a thick burger.
Oh, it's just tall,
right,
not wide.
It's a thick patty.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a pancake.
I was picturing it as flat as a quarter pounder and I was like, wow, that must just
looks
be.
Like a piece of pizza. What are you doing?
We didn't have Manosphere podcast. We just had to go to McDonald's and order double quarter pounders with cheese to let our friends know that we were strong.
Yes. Honestly, it was a better way.
Yeah.
Both are bad, but one was.
How much can you spend on the dollar menu at Wendy's? That was how you proved it.
Both generations
it
are
really
sick.
Was. Drive-thru really was like a little, like going to the drive-thru was like, hey, I'm a freaking teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have arrived.
Have we talked about how freaking funny it was to, as a teenager, get a Happy Meal.
Oh my
How
God.
Funny Whoa. Was that, dude?
Especially like when it was shit. Like during the Digimon movie, and you're like, oh man, it'd be so,
and you're like,
be so
fucking you need lame this, yeah.
if I got an Agumon in my Happy Meal. Oh, what a joke. What a joke that would be.
Yeah. Best Happy Meals toy. What do you guys got?
Wow.
I got the Looney Tunes that had the little cars that broke apart. Those were sick.
It's got to be the Knuckles in a cloud. That, like,
yes, dude, I had that.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
My parents were really strict with food. I don't know that I ever got a Happy Meal.
Oh my gosh, you never got a Happy Meal?
Pause the recording.
She's never had a Happy Meal?
Get this woman a Happy
Meal. Never been to Fuddruckers.
She doesn't even know what Fuddruckers is.
We had McDonald's, but I don't remember getting a Happy Meal.
Wow.
I bet you got like a combo meal and split it with the family.
I was going to say, I am the youngest, so it's possible that they got two Happy Meals to split between three, and then the toy never made it my way because I was the youngest.
That's tragic.
We...
That's tragic.
Next time I come over to record, I'm bringing you a Happy Meal. Yeah.
The mini Beanie Babies. That was my McDonald's toy.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm looking up what the current Happy Meal toy is.
I feel like I do remember like a... But I think actually I just remember it from Googling it. Never mind. Yeah.
Oh. I do remember. I liked when McDonald's had its own lore and was like, what's up? We're going to give you guys Transformers, but they're burgers that turn into
goblins.
Oh, yeah, that rocks.
Oh, my God. Maybe that was my favorite
Those
McDonald's
are sick.
Toy.
Those are from, like, the 80s, though. So that was, like, true being a child.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be this hard to find.
What are you looking at?
I just want to know what the current Happy Meal toy is.
I bet they have something to do with How to Train Your Dragon.
That's a good guess.
Because my adult friend is really excited to see it. She was like, I want to go and get all of the How to Train Your Dragon stuff at, or maybe it was
Burger King.
Okay, mm-hmm. Is that some fast food chain, and then go watch How to Train Your Dragon.
Does McDonald's, do they still do the Monopoly game?
I think so.
That was huge.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, so it's still big.
Oh, I think it was revealed to be a huge scam.
Yes. Really?
The Monopoly. McDonald's Monopoly.
There were like no winning numbers?
Oh, well, there was a documentary. I don't remember what happened, but it was like there was some element of like insider Monopoly trading.
Yeah. Yeah. It was planned in some way. Or so there was some plan or something.
There's
like
a Mark Wahlberg produced documentary on HBO Max.
He was just trying to get people to go to Wahlburger.
I think I also listened to, what the heck is it called?
Swindled.
I think I listened to an episode of Swindled about it.
Ah, I would probably recommend Swindled more than a Mark Wahlberg produced documentary.
Right, because he's got Wahlberger, so that's just slander.
True.
He's just
trying to throw them under the bus.
You guys are right.
When he comes up with his, I don't know, Yahtzee themed game.
Huge rose to, we're talking about the Burger Master not being an actual Burger Master, but I love when we just keep insisting on a joke so much that you have to open up the door just a little bit of crack. You have to crack the door just a little bit. Uh-huh. And it's just like, okay, he did have lavish meals at his house.
Yeah.
He made yum yums or whatever.
Cool yummies.
So
cool
I was going to say the same rose earlier when we were talking. I was like waiting to say it, which is your ability to roll with everything we're saying is like a masterclass. Just like being like, okay, yeah, like no one is just like, you're psychotic. They're all kind of like, all right, what you're saying isn't clicking with me, but maybe you're just speaking in a different way. Okay, well, maybe they could be referring to this.
I'm so glad you hear that because the inside of my brain is like a submarine taking on water.
Yeah.
Just, you're like, the red alert is going off.
Nothing in the book said how Ismark would respond to his father being asked for its herbs and spices.
You should release a Strahd addendum that's like Strahd when you're DMing for idiots.
Strahd Scockabilly version.
Yeah,
Scockabilly.
I think at this point, because I did notice in the comments, everyone was just like, oh yeah, my players also thought that he was
a burger master. Yeah. I was going to say, I bet it's really common because it is like, it's so not part of our language, right? That it's like, how do you not?
Well, also, I remember.
Yeah, it is so stupid of us and so stupid of everyone to be just like, surely this could just be a word that from context clues you could understand.
But I mean, think about how much we all love drive-thrus.
But it's also just like burger is such a word in our current language.
Right. I feel like we are American, whether we like it or not. And when you hear the word burger, it just puts a smile on your face.
Yeah, it really fucking does. It really does. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I hate to say it, but it's like a soul word.
Right, yeah.
Sorry, guys. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I hate it. We just, yeah, like, I hear the word burger, I'm like, yeah, okay. You say burger, I say where.
You say burger, I say what fixins.
This is, I'm just going to bring this up because this is a real short rest conversation. Okay. It has very little to do with what we're talking about. But
it's,
we're talking,
okay,
about,
I took, yeah, I fucking derailed us with telepathy. No, and I, right. I think alienated 90% of the audience.
It definitely didn't. Talking about how burger, like, just brings joy. For some reason, I was saying guarantee in a text the other day, and I was just looking at the word guarantee, and I was
beautiful.
Like, what the fuck is up with this
word?
Wait,
really? I think it's beautiful.
No, I think it's cool. Uh-huh.
There's
just like
so
what is...
many vowels.
Yeah.
In it.
Guarantee.
Yeah. It just, yeah. I was just sitting there, digesting the word, I guess, and
ooh,
just looking at it over and over again and being like, what the fuck is this word?
I think that counts
Murphy's
as like meditation.
The power of the mind.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
I think that was a meditation. It's got to be a French word, right?
It sounds good to say in a French accent. Guarantee.
Yeah.
So like, that's usually the litmus test for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's probably 100%
yeah,
French.
There's no way of knowing.
There's no way of knowing.
There's literally no way to know.
When did guarantee come out?
When did guarantee come out?
To look it up, I would have to go off of the page that's displaying the Munster's Dragula coach to me, and I don't want to
do that. Yeah, no, I don't think there's a reason.
That's
to.
Rob Zombie has the original car.
Fuck, does
of
he?
The Munster's car, I think, right?
That's so
Isn't
cool.
that like famous Rob Zombie lore?
That's cool.
Maybe, I don't know, but that's cool.
I wonder if it rides.
That's fucking cool.
Or if it's just decorative.
I think it rides.
I feel the same way about the Munster's custom Dragula coach as I do about like fancy shoes, where I'm like, I feel like a really cool sneaker is like a very fun look, but it's not my look. And
sure.
I feel the same way about like having like a hot rod or something like that, where it's just like, it seems cool to have one. But
yeah.
Like, the maintenance, just all of the, like, yeah. I don't have the lifestyle for that. I don't have a good enough garage.
I don't like driving enough.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe if I had the Munster's Dragula coupe, perhaps I would like to drive
it
more.
It can change everything for me.
That's true.
I do see, you know, you in LA, every once in a while, you'll see someone in a real cool classic car, and they look like they're having a great life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't look divorced at all.
They look like they have it all. But those cars, like, don't crumple at all. When you, like, crash into something, they just completely stay put and wreck your body.
Oh, yeah.
Cars now, like, essentially just, like, turn into a ball as soon as you hit something. And so it, like, absorbs the impact.
Oh.
Right. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously.
Is that true about even cars from, like, let's say 12 years ago, 13 years ago? Okay,
yes,
cool.
Yes.
We're good then.
Yes. Yes. That's why, like, older cars, like, don't get dinged as much, because they're just like giant fucking tanks.
Yeah.
But when you crash,
it's bad.
When you crash in your car now, if it's like a newer car, or like any car that's come out, you know, since like the 90s or whatever, it's like you crash and it folds to absorb the impact.
Yes.
And back in the day, it was just like, well, you don't want your car to be damaged.
No.
So it'll just make your head explode as soon as your head goes forward into the fucking dashboard.
You'll die, but your car can be bequeathed to your kids.
Yeah.
It's also way funnier to watch Herman Munster, you know, like, have his head fall off.
Sure.
In a big car crash.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's, you could just put it back on, because he's a Frankenstein man.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had that power, but he was definitely super strong. There were definitely lots of moments where, like, his boss at work would, like, get, like, picked up or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because Herman was so strong.
He'd, like, have to lift the whole couch so they could, like, vacuum under it. Maybe that's Mr. Incredible. I don't know.
Where did he work, Mr. Munster?
I think he just worked
McDonald's corporate.
Whoa. Really?
He came up with the Knuckles toy. I don't know. The whole joke was just, I mean, it was very Addams Family adjacent, where it was just like all of their neighbors were very normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And then they also had, who was the one, like, who was not spooky?
Oh, the
they
daughter.
Had a niece. And the joke was that, like, they thought that she was, like, unfortunate looking. Mm-hmm. And she was just, like, a very, like, normal looking woman.
Yeah.
It really took the Addams Family blueprint and it elevated it in some ways, I would say.
Sure. Cool.
All right. Well, much like a car accident, we're going to wrap
up. Jesus.
Nice. We're going to scrunch this one up, but you're safe.
Yeah.
But you're safe.
Yeah.
Right. You're totally fine.
Yeah, you're totally fine.
Herman Munster's dead.
Herman Munster is dead because his car was not designed correctly.
No.
With that, we're going to wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. I'll be back next week with another episode of Trinity Veil Extra.
Yes.
In the meantime, Caldwell, why don't you take us out?
Ooh, thanks so much for listening. Everybody get ready to roll those Munster's Dragula coach dice.
Rolling with the Munster's Dragula coach dice.
Keep that Scockabilly alive.